So today, we start a three-part series called Living Daily Under Grace. Living Daily Under Grace. The first module, the first part of the series, part one, is called Dealing with Your Unknown Sins. We, as a church body, have been dealing with our unknown sins for the past, I'm going to say, 15, 17 years. We've been saying how truly important it is that you deal with the unknown sins. Not that it's any less important to deal with the known sins. We teach you, we've said, we live a lifestyle where every time you sin and you know it, you confess it. But for 15, 17 years, we've been saying, but periodically during the day, you should stop and deal with the unknown sins. Eventually, we grew to say, the most important thing you can do for your health and for your life is confess your sins, and in particular, deal with the unknown sins. Dealing with the unknown sins is Heavenly Father, or however you choose to address your Father God. Abba, Daddy, Father God, Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. 5 seconds. 5 seconds that releases absolute power in your life. That is so truly amazing that much of what we've seen are just... It's truly amazing. We are now moving that up to a higher level. We've been saying for quite a long time that you should try to hit a goal of 12, 10 or 12 times a day to deal with the unknown sins. I've been telling you for well over a decade that my goal personally is to deal with my unknown sins every 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes. I thought that was pretty fanatic, but that's what I felt led to do. Many times I didn't hit it. But that was my goal. I want to tell you, as important as we had stressed it and made it out to be, it's way, way more important than that. And that's what today's module is about. First, we want to talk about the difference between being under grace and the age of grace. As Christians, we grew up thinking, this is the age of grace, we are believers, so we are under grace. Probably, many of you still think that. Maybe most of you. I certainly did for a long time, until a few years ago, God started teaching me things in these areas. Couldn't teach it to the church because it was a graduate school semester 3 teaching. Often in graduate school semester 3, we come up with questions and we have no answers. And so we don't teach it because it can create fear, it can create a lot of challenges. This was one of the questions that we had, and God has given us the answer. And the result of the answer is flowing out through in this teaching today. So, the age of grace began with Jesus. Exactly when did the presence of grace start, or the age of grace start? I suppose one could argue, one might say with the birth of Jesus, one might say with his conception, one might say when he started his ministry. John 1:17 says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Now, the last 2,000 years, essentially, in round numbers, have been the years of grace. Living during this time are believers, Christians, believing Jews, a lot of atheists and a lot of heathens, a lot of people who don't care. They're all living in the age of grace. Are they all under grace? Obviously not. Only those who've accepted Jesus Christ are under grace. Because coming under grace, the process of coming under grace, grace being available to you, started when Jesus was resurrected, went to heaven, and poured out his blood upon the mercy seat in heaven. That's what we use as the beginning of the age of grace. Technically, we should now say it's the beginning of Christians, of believers, coming under grace. But the age of grace started with Jesus, and Jesus ministered grace to all those that he saw. But though he ministered grace to them, they could not come under grace or stay under grace for any long period of time when the 70 were sent out using the name of Jesus and they came back rejoicing. They were under grace for that period of time that even the demons responded to the name of Jesus. But for you and me to choose to come under grace, that became possible when the blood of Jesus was poured out on the mercy seat in the temple in heaven. So how do believers come under grace? All believers born in the last 2,000 years, all believers who are Christians and that they've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, these have all occurred in the last 2,000 years. When do they come under grace? Well, when they accept Jesus, Ephesians 2:8 says, you're saved through grace by faith. And that, not of yourself, it's a gift of God. So we are saved by grace. So we moved into the salvation of grace when we accepted Jesus Christ. So we come under grace. And you think, well, we're under the age of grace and we're under grace. Well, it's not that simple. Romans 6:14 says that sin shall have no dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Didn't say you're in the age of grace, it says you're under grace. So when you're under grace, when you're under grace, you're not under the law. There's a choice here. You can choose to be under grace or under the law. The age of grace is the time period. Roughly 2,000 years. Being under grace is a state or a condition. You choose to be under that state or condition. And the first time you chose it was when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We've talked about the fact that when we sin, we take God, we take Jesus off the throne of our life for a while, and the devil and assumes ascendancy because we bow our knees to him in obedience. When we do that, we're not under grace. We're actually sinning. We all know we're sinning. So if you're sinning, you can't be under grace. You are under the law. When you're under grace, you're not sinning. Under grace, there's no sin. When you're under grace, there's no law. Romans 5:13 tells you that before the law, sin was in the world. But sin was not imputed because there was no law. So when there is no law, there's no sin. When you're under grace, there's no law, there's no sin. But we're believers and we're sinning. And we know we're sinning, especially in this church. There are many churches that think they're not sinning because they don't understand this process. The Bible makes it very clear, don't sin. It says, well, now that we are under grace, does that mean we have a license to sin? No. It says, quit sinning and work the righteousness of God, which is in you, work it out into your body, into your members. It's very clear, especially in the book of Romans, that Christians are sinning. The point is, quit sinning. How do we quit sinning? The law doesn't have dominion over you as long as you're under grace. So we want to stay under grace. So we are under grace when we choose not to sin and God is on the throne of our lives. We're under grace when we're obedient to God, when we're obedient to the Word. When we disobey the Word or disobey God, we've chosen to go back under law. So we want to be under grace all the time. In part two, we'll go deeper into the subject. Just understand now that just because you're under the age of grace doesn't mean you're under grace. When you're born again, you move under grace when you're born again. But as soon as you sin, temporarily, you go back under the law. Every time you sin, you go back under the law. So how do you get back under grace? We've been doing that for 17 years. We confess your sins. That's why so many people at ABC have had miracles and get healing over the last 17 years because they confess their sins. And because we've learned to deal with the unknown sins. So let's look. What are the benefits of confessing your sins? At this level, we look at six major benefits of confessing your sins. Either the known sins or dealing with the unknown sins. Six major benefits. If you've been through healing school, School of Dominion, you would recognize these and understand them. If you don't, that's okay. Understand what I'm going to teach today is very powerful, very awesome, very wonderful. It is not meant to replace all the teachings of ABC years of schooling. It's not meant to replace it. It's an addition. It's like you have this big ice cream sundae of all these wonderful things we've been doing, all the wonderful things we understand, and right on the top, God has put a great, big, huge cherry, assuming you like cherry. Okay? And that's what this is. This is to be added to what you're doing. The wonderful thing is, adding it to what we're doing, we can reduce some of the prayer load. So just look at me at the six wonderful things that happen when you confess your known sins. And from here on, we're going to focus on dealing with the unknown sins. When you deal with sin, six wonderful things happen. I've sorted them into three categories. Category number one, cleansing. When you confess your sins, you're washed clean. It's as if you're becoming a new creation. The sins are all gone, washed away. You confess one sin and God cleanses you of all the rest. You say, Lord, I don't know any sins. And he cleanses you of all unrighteousness. All sins, all iniquities. Number two, you move back under the umbrella of the protection of the blood of Jesus. So cleansing. One is your sins are washed away. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. You're white as snow. Two, you come back under the protection of the blood of Jesus. Second category. Are blocking the access of Satan. All the ties, hooks, control to the sins and to the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind the sins, they're all broken. The confessing of the sins breaks them. Satan has built up all these cobwebs of sins, and you take a broom and just go, whoops, and they're all gone. And that broom is simply dealing with the unknown sins. Simply confessing the sins. All the ties are gone. All the ties are broken. For a period. We all know this. Done for a period. How long is the period? Until you sin again. And when you confess your sins, you tie the hands of the enemy. The devil can't attack you because you've tied those hands. The devil can only attack you when you open the door and invite him in. When your words authorize him and allow him to use your power against yourself. When your words do it, when your actions do it. In other words, when you sin by thought or word or deed, then his hands are untied. But when you confess his sins, his hands are tied. Aren't those wonderful things? And then, coming back to the next level, You're losing God into your life to help you. You're coming back into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. You are, led by the Spirit of God, confessing your sins. You're now righteous. When you confess your sins, comes that joy and peace. You're back in the kingdom of God. Every time you confess your sins, it is as if you're establishing the kingdom of God around you. But of course, the kingdom of God is established around you, but not necessarily in your room or your home. Part of establishing the kingdom of God, for those of you who've been through healing school semester 2, is cleansing the home, praying to cleanse the home. But as far as you are concerned and your body, oh, it's established. And then you lose God's hand to help you. How do you do that? You come under grace. You confess your sins, you're back under grace. Before you confess, whether or not you knew you were sinning, whether it was known or unknown, you're not under grace, you're back under the law. You're breaking the law. But now you confess your sins, all the sins of God, you're back under grace. You're back in the kingdom. God is free to heal you. Quoting from the Meltari book about the Indonesian revival, the book, The Gentle Breeze of Jesus, has one line in there which I've repeated many times since then. He says, God, Jesus wants to heal you more right now than you want to heal yourself. Jesus wants to heal you more. Jesus wants more healing for you now than you want it for yourself. As much as you want to be healed, God wants it more. God wants it so much, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted so much, he died on the cross for you. He took all your sins, suffered for you, was bruised for you, beaten for you, so you could have the manifestation of your health. Not so you could say, well, I know by faith it belongs to me, but I don't have the manifestation. He didn't die so you could have it by faith only. He died so you could have the manifestation of the fullness of life, free of sickness, disease, infirmity, and all forms of death. Jesus wants you healed more than you do. Six wonderful things that happen. That all come to pass, and we're going to focus on the unknown sins, all come to pass when you focus on the unknown sins, when you deal with the unknown sins. So let's look at that. Known sins. You know how to do that. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the word of God. If you confess your known sins, why would God put that in the Bible for believers if we weren't sinning? James 5 verses 14 and 15. If there is any sick among you, let them come to the elders of the church, and let the prayer of him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith would save him. And if he has sins, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has sins, they'll be forgiven. Imagine that. If they have sins, they'll be forgiven. Sins and sickness go together. Sickness and evil go together. Sickness and the consequences of sin all go together. Licked all over the Bible. So when you confess your known sins, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Well, what if you go half an hour or 3 days and you think, I have not sinned? Let me tell you, and we'll delve way more deeply into this in the next module. You and I are committing sins all the time. We've been saying that for years at ABC. We commit a lot of sins that we don't know what they are. In fact, in healing school semester 1, we have a whole list of different kinds of sins that you can commit. Ongoing sins, third-party offense, all kinds of sins that we talk about as categories. But let me tell you, as many times as we have said that we are committing lots of sins, is nothing close to the truth. When you hear the truth next module, which will be in 2 weeks, you will be totally shocked. But thank God we have a solution. And the solution, we're giving you the solution before the problem. So Heavenly Father, for the unknown sins, technically, it would be best to call them iniquities. Unknown sins are probably best called iniquities. But we've been using unknown sins for so long. We understand that better, okay? Heavenly Father, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, please cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When you do that, all the benefits come into play. So when you deal with the unknown sin, deal with any sin, but here dealing with the unknown sin, what happens? These six major things happen. All those six things, in one way or the other, puts you back under grace. And next module will focus precisely how that happens. It puts you back under grace. When you confess your sins, these six wonderful things happen immediately. Six wonderful benefits happen immediately. So how often should we do them? Well, let me tell you, starting about last November, my wife and I were so flooded with people that had high challenges, major challenges, that we were very, very active working through these processes. Some of them were, most of them were life-threatening. One or two, they didn't think the person was going to live. These were serious things. And more I started forgiving them the sins and frequently and getting the ones who could speak to do it. And we saw so many miracles, we started using it more inside the church to the people. We shared it with the maids and they started doing it. So we started testing it. And we continued testing. We saw so many miracles that my wife and I said, listen, all these people are getting these miracles, maybe we should start doing it more frequently and counting it. Counting. Doing it frequently and counting it. What kind of miracles? Well, people may be focusing on, let's say, challenge A, but they might have challenge B, C, and D in their bodies, which have been there for a long time. One person comes to mind, challenge have been there, one challenge 4 years, one challenge 5 years, one challenge 11 years. But they were not impacting the person's lifestyle. They were there, probably, if the person had gone to a doctor, the doctor would have said, get into the hospital. But they were not impacting the person's lifestyle. And the person started dealing with the unknown sins frequently. Like maybe 30 times a day was my recollection at first. And then between 40 and 50. When the person went 7 days between 40 and 50 unknown sins, call them US unknown sins, saying the unknown sins prayer, the USP prayer, the unknown sin prayer, 40 to 50 times a day, after about a week, in that 1 week period, all three challenges which have been there for 4 years, 5 years, and 11 years, all disappeared. They all went to zero. The person was not even praying for them. The prayer was just, the person had done many, many affirmations and prayed for these things over the years, came to the point where I've done all that I know to do, I'll just wait until God tells me what to do. Well, when the person did this, they all got healed. This was happening to all the people. We ended up at one time, we had 25 people being tested, those who, some outside ABC or new to ABC, and some regular ABCs were having some challenges. 25 people were doing this. will use them as our test group. Of the 25, 22 receive miracles like this. Amazing miracles. I could sit up here for the next couple of hours just telling you miracles. And I'm sure when Pastor Karen speaks, she'll give you some more examples. I have so much to say, I'm not focusing on examples. I don't really focus that much on testimony examples, because we should all be walking in miracles, signs, and wonders all day long, every day of every week. God lives in you. The creator of heaven and earth lives in you. All the power of God is in you. We should be using it, creating miracles all day long. So how many times a day should we be doing the USP, the unknown sense prayer? Well, I've been saying this for quite a long time, long before I got this revelation that I'm currently teaching, long before we understood that when you're doing the unknown sense prayer frequently, spontaneous miracles happen. Let me say that again. When you're doing them frequently, spontaneous miracles happen. Now, this is not just for healing. This is any area of your life. When you're under grace, God can help you in any and all areas of your life. So, for a long time now, we've been saying, I'm going to guess 7 years, that the minimum number should be about 10, between 10 and 12. 10 by count, 12 because I've noticed for years, people do more than 12 seem to do a lot better than those who are in a 12. So that's why I have two numbers. So here's where the 10 comes from. You should do your USP, your unknown sense of prayer, before every interaction with God. Why would you want to go to God and talk to him or pray or spend time with him if you're still having unknown sins in your life? Technically, it means you're not under grace. Technically, it's only because of God's mercy and grace why you can even get through to him. Scripture says, if you have iniquity in your heart, God can't hear you. That's the way it was before the age of grace. Now, under the age of grace, we accidentally come back under grace by doing certain things, which in the future we'll talk about. But we don't want to accidentally do anything. We want to do everything precisely because we know how and we understand why. So here's where the number 10 comes from. You should do your USB before your morning prayers. All serious ABCs should be doing these things. Before your morning prayers, and especially in your morning prayers, loose into your life this day God's will, power, and angels, and bind from you Satan and all his DDEs. At the very least, you need to say that. Before your evening prayers, recommend in your evening prayers, if you're not already doing it, you say Psalm 23, if you have any challenges with dreams, bad visions while you're sleeping, or any kind of sleeping issue. Just takes a minute or two to say Psalm 23 aloud. Before your morning prayers, before your evening prayers, before each meal or snack. Most people have 3 meals a day. Before you bless your food, do the USP. Do the USP and turn the meal into a healing service by reminding God that in Exodus 23:25, he has promised to bless your bread and water and take all sickness and miss you. Turn every meal into a healing service. Communion, worship time, Bible reading, tongues and affirmations. All those add up to 10 if you take 3 meals. That's where 10 comes from. That's why the minimum number is really 10. If you're doing fewer than 10, you're either not doing all these things or you're going to God in a state of sin. What do we recommend? This is now where we move up into the new revelation knowledge. New revelation knowledge is we spend much of our time under the law and not under the grace. We spend much of our time under sin and not under grace. Recommended, here's what we're recommended so you stay under grace more and more and more. So, to the minimum number above, which is 10, add the following. Do as frequently as possible 50 to 100 USPs per day. 50 to 100. That's 50 to 100 plus the 10 above. That should be the goal. Now, Let's say you're going to do 50. 50 per day works out to be one every 15 minutes if you have a 12-hour day. That's the number I was using, 48 actually, one every 15 minutes. That's what I've been doing as my goal for what, 10 years? A long, long time. I did not realize this. If you're doing 100, then it's two for every 15 minutes. Basically, one every, say, 8 minutes for 12-hour day. You say, well, what if I'm doing this and I keep forgetting? Which, of course, I forget for a long, long time. I mean, many, many times, I don't even come close to my number. And I knew it was important, but I did not know it is as important as it is now. Now as we move into the end of the days, it's no longer important. It's no longer important. It is vital. It is vital for your end-of-day warfare. I stand here as an apostle, and I'm telling you, it is vital that you do this frequently. It is vital that you do this frequently. And you see more why in Module 2. No, if we combine the 10 and the ones from Part B, let's say 50 from Part B, you got 10 from Part A and 50 from Part B, that's 60. If you combine that 60 with what I call rapid fire USPs, you can increase that number dramatically. And we'll come to that in a couple of minutes. Looking at Part C, this is three Part C, what's an ideal way of doing affirmations? Because in Part A, the minimum number includes affirmations. We assume all ABCers are doing affirmations. People who left ABC 20 years ago, when I see them, they always tell me, we're still doing affirmations. That's wonderful, it's good. Still doing affirmations. But that's still day one of healing school, semester one. Affirmations is day one. But they're vital. So, since you're doing affirmations in Part A, what is an ideal way of doing your affirmations? So, suppose a person is challenged with a pain in the neck. I don't mean a person. I mean an actual pain in the neck, okay? You want to define a set to be the following. You have three affirmations to do. We call the three affirmations put together a set. So, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, suggestion, example, say 10 times. My neck has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, say 10 times. What have we just done here for the healing school students? Why do we do two? You should know the answer if you've been through healing school. The answer is, one is general and one is specific. And the reason why you should do a general and a specific. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus 10 times. My neck has been healed by the stripes of Jesus 10 times. I have been healed from pain by the stripes of Jesus 10 times. So a set consists of 30. Here is an ideal way to do it. Before you do the 30 affirmation, say, Lord, Heavenly Father, I do not know innocence. Lord, I'm not aware of innocence. In the name of Jesus, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then you do 10. And before each 10, you do that. So when you complete a set of 30, 10, 10, 10, you'll have also completed three USPs. And you'll be under the state of grace for the 10 affirmations. Because what loses grace is your faith. You have faith to say the USP. We've been looking at that. But you also have faith because you believe the Word of God is true, and you're saying, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Each affirmation is loosing faith into your life. And grace comes with the faith. We've known for years that when you affirm, 40 wonderful things happen. That's standard healing school semester one. One of those 40s was not that it brings you back under grace, because that was way, way above our level of understanding. And we will keep it that way. We will not change healing school semester one to talk about grace. It's still 40 reasons, and one, grace, will not be mentioned. Grace will continue to be taught at a higher level. This church is a higher level because almost all of you have been through multiple schools. So, if you do 3 sets per day, set is 3 affirmations, 10 times each, and 1 USP. If you do that in the morning, about midday, late afternoon, then you'll be doing 90 per day, 90 affirmations, plus 9 USPs. Now, I'm using it as a model. You might be led by the Lord to do fewer or more. I'm not saying you must do 10. Let the Holy Spirit tell you if you do 5 or 1 or 100 each. Okay? But this is a good number to use as an example. So that's a really ideal way of doing affirmations. If you were like me, which would sit down and do 200 or 300 affirmations at a time, then maybe every 50 or 100, you stop and do a USP. And finally, rapid fire USPs. The idea is to spread the USP out around the whole day, throughout the whole day. So, if you do one affirmation every 15 minutes throughout the entire day, and you only end up with 50, that's probably a lot better than if you do 1,000 twice a day at 500 each. 1,000 versus 50. I believe the 50 spread through the day is more effective than the 1,000 done at one point in time. Now I'm saying I believe because we're still learning. This is a brand new process. It's just months old. Before I've gotten revelation knowledge in the past, I've waited a year, 2 years before I teach them. The longest one was 10 years. 10 years before I was allowed to teach it. This is a matter of months. So we're still learning. But right now, I would say, combine them both. Spread them through the day, and then maybe once or twice or 3 times through the day, you might want to do a whole bunch. I know we're going to talk more about this in the future. So, this is a method of doing a large number, the rapid fire USP. It's like a machine gun, rapid fire. It's a method of doing a large number of USPs in a short time, and you do it by treating the USPs like an affirmation. Send them one after another. One after another. They are not affirmations. Affirmations are declarations of truth. USP is allowing God to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Big difference. So you say, if God is cleansing you of all unrighteousness, why do we have to do them so frequently one after the other? I'm glad you asked. Come back to module 2. And we'll talk about that, okay? So, some of the numbers achieved by ABC so far include, and there is one person who did somewhere up in this level, I think 700 or 800 in a day, who has had some truly amazing miracles in her life. And a very real possibility, it kept her alive and totally changed her life. She may very well have died without it. But I guarantee you, sooner or later, Pastor Mays is going to talk about that. So, ones that I thought of when I was putting this together. One person did 200 in one day for 5 days, and her blood pressure went from 185 plus, which includes over 200, down to 126. That's miraculous. What is even more miraculous is the 185 plus was with blood pressure medication and the 126 was without. The 126 was measured when the blood pressure medication had worn out right before she takes the next one. It's a double miracle. Okay? Now, the person has also gone on to do 500 a number of times, like for close to a week straight, I believe. 600 plus. Recent one this week. The person, severe eye pain, which severe eye pain is very severe. I mean, it really hurts. Okay. In one day, 600 plus USBs went from a 10 in one day to a zero. 10 to zero in one day. Now, of course, these people are also doing some healing affirmations. Probably not a lot, but some. I don't know what the number is, but probably some. Another person did 750. Person that had major surgery was given, you know, the heaviest kind of painkiller, which of course are very addictive, and elected not to take it. And in one day, the pain went down to a zero. 750 plus in one day. My recollection, if it's accurate, is the person did take it for a day or two, and they said, well, this thing is very addictive, I'm going to stop. And did 750 plus in one day, went down to a zero. These are not spontaneous. These are specific ones that they're working on. But I mentioned about all the spontaneous ones. 22 of 25 people got several spontaneous healings. So, that's pretty much today's. There's a question of, in the test groups, which is up until this time period, we've been asking the people to send back status reports. And we're going to ask you to send in, because we're still learning, sending some praise reports, not status reports, sending praise reports to Pastors James and Karen. If you want to copy me, that would be nice. But send it to them primarily because we're still evaluating and learning. Now, when you send the praise report, some shorthand is, we like to use U for the number of unknown sins. Some people use US. U or US is unknown sins. K means known sins. And then you use a letter like H for hip, B for bleeding, things of that nature. Okay? There's a one called O for overall. That is your overall well-being as opposed to, well, there's a challenge on the hip and I'm working on that. That's different from the overall well-being. And we'll talk more about that next time. So that's it. This is a profound step forward in getting ready for the ending days. We're truly blessed that God has revealed this to us. And we will have a building stones, this being number one, and two more modules that look more clearly at its impact in the ending days. Today it's like general warfare. How do we become more successful? How do we get rid of all these challenges? How do we break them? How do we reduce the number of attacks in our lives? And how do we overcome the ones we have and the ones that have been sitting there for years? And remember, today I focused on healing. But this, when you're under grace, God will and can and wants to help you in every area of your life. Now, if you're looking for breakthroughs in healing, do some healing affirmations. But if it's finances, do some financial affirmations. It makes no difference to God if the miracle is financial or in healing. So everything we said here about healing applies to finances, relationships, everything. So praise God. Thank you for your time and attention. And I just hope you are filled with as much excitement and appreciation for this process of dealing with your nonsense in a high frequency level. Okay? I hope your enthusiasm matches mine because it's worthy of all the enthusiasm that you can put into it. Thank you for your time. God bless you all.
Thank you, Apostle Joshua. Woo! We are excited, right, everybody? Yoo-hoo! God is so good, leading us and guiding us by the way that we should go. And He wants for us more than we want for ourselves. That's a wonderful, understanding of how much his love is there for us. Just in the very act of having sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to go through all that horror and suffering and pain and torture for us, because he was the only one qualified to pay the price where we could not, that his love did it for us. Oh, how awesome is that? You know, the secular world says we sin. We do decisions. We make decisions throughout every day, and they estimate 25,000 decisions. So if we stop and think, wow, how many times have I asked the Holy Spirit for his guidance in each and every decision, I think we fall very far short. And so here's one area where praying the unknown sins prayer can help alleviate all those times when we haven't sought the Holy Spirit, when we're sinning and we don't know it. You know, it's very impossible to confess a sin that you don't even know you're actually doing. So, praying the unknown sins prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle Joshua. We're looking forward to the continued teachings to bring us more into the fullness of that revelation, in Jesus' name. And now, in our thanksgiving to our Father, let's partake of communion. This is a wonderful thing that he has invited us to partake, and it is our joy to be able to do that. And so let's take a moment now to confess our sins, and then we will begin. We thank you so much, Lord, for your word that teaches us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." His body was broken so our bodies would be made whole. Healing belongs to us because Jesus paid that price. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we boldly say so as we receive of the broken body of Jesus in that great exchange of covenant to receive our healing and wholeness in our bodies right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And after the supper, on that same night, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the blood of Jesus never loses its power. It's just as powerful today as it ever was. Having sealed the old covenant, established the new, better, and everlasting covenant, washed away all of our sins into the sea of forgetfulness, Lord, you have provided for us everything that we would ever need, and the life is in the blood. And as we partake of the blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, that we are flooded with the blood of Jesus and saturated with the life of God that flows through Jesus and into us. We are so grateful, Lord, as we receive together now in joy and thanksgiving.